This is Tiny Tidal Waves. I'm Kane. This is Tuesday night on Raglan Community Radio. And this week, we are listening to American Hardcore. And we're talking about American Hardcore. We're going to learn some lessons. We're going to listen to some really, really horrible music that I love so much. So let's just dive in. We're probably going to hear about 100 songs because they're all so very short. In fact, I've only even put 20 on the playlist and I'm only at 30 minutes. So I'm going to build the playlist as we go, doing what I feel. This is it's American hardcore from the 80s. So the origins of hardcore, early 80s. We're going to start with Black Flag.
You'll get out of my way, cause I'm crazy and I'm hurt. Head on my shoulders, going faster. I won't apologize for acting out of line. You see the way I am, you leave any time you die, God. Crazy out of mind. Head on my shoulders, going berserk. Crazy, 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 crazy.
rise above, we're gonna rise above.
And I am gonna have my chance.
Rise above, we're gonna rise above.
Apologies if you're just having a nice dinner or a nice Tuesday night listening to some relaxing sounds. Or I guess you weren't. You were listening to John's interviews or, you know, soaking in all of the information and, you know, calm kind of news or interviews and then just bust on in here with all of this hideousness. But it's kind of the best thing ever, and it is... sort of the reason this show exists. It's exactly the kind of thing that I wanted to do, is explore movements that started out tiny and turned into something gigantic. Now, there's not a band, not a rock band in this world at the moment that probably doesn't stem from some form of hardcore punk. And I know, big call, but... it was so incredibly influential, and it was, you know, 50 years ago. So, it, you know, it's influenced bands who have influenced bands who have influenced bands. So hardcore punk, commonly abbreviated to hardcore, or HXC, is a punk rock subgenre and subculture that originated in the late 1970s. Now, that's arguable. I kind of think more like 1980. Anyway, it's generally faster, harder, and more aggressive than other forms of punk rock. Its roots can be traced to earlier punk scenes in San Francisco and Southern California, which arose as a reaction against the still predominant hippie cultural climate of the time. It was also inspired by Washington, D.C. and New York punk rock and early proto-punk. Hardcore punk generally eschews commercialism, the established music industry, and anything similar to the characteristics of mainstream rock, and often addresses social issues and political topics with, quote, confrontational, politically charged lyrics. Hardcore sprouted underground scenes across the United States in the early 1980s, particularly in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Boston, and New York, as well as in Canada and the United Kingdom. Hardcore has spawned the straight edge movement and its associated sub-movements, Hardline and Youth Crew. Hardcore was heavily involved in the rise of independent record labels in the 1980s and with the DIY ethics and underground music scenes. It has also influenced various music genres that have experienced widespread commercial success, including grunge and thrash metal. Now, this is exactly what I said. Hardcore influences grunge. Grunge has influenced everything. So, we're going back away. Although the music genre started in English-speaking Western countries, notable hardcore scenes have existed in Italy, Japan, and Brazil. And New Zealand and Australia have fantastic hardcore scenes, had, and kind of still have, I guess. Coming back in New Zealand, took a little breather, now it's coming back with some cool young hardcore bands. So, hardcore's a big world. We're just going to focus on the early bands and kind of the early 80s. And let's... play some more. We've got four Minor Threat songs coming up, so here you go.
I'm promise.
We're not ready for that yet. We're not ready. That was Minor Threat. Let me just, I'm trying to build my playlist as I go. So we've heard from Black Flag. We heard Nervous Breakdown off of their album Nervous Breakdown, more of an EP. And we heard Rise Above off of their album Damaged. And then we heard Bad Brains with Band in DC off of their self-titled record. It's the one with the lightning bolt on the front. Then from Minor Threat, we heard I Don't Want to Hear It, Straight Edge, Minor Threat, and Out of Step. Right, that's right, that was four songs. I told you it was quick. That's a characteristic of hardcore. They play quick, fast, heavy, very aggressive. Let's learn about a little bit of the few of the characteristics. We're going to do a bit more talking tonight, I think. Maybe because it's a topic that I know quite a lot about. Fun fact, my honours year was focused on hardcore and music. Anyway, but also because the songs are so short, it's going to be hard to fill an hour and a half with songs that I like. So, hardcore historian Stephen Blush, who wrote a fantastic book called American Hardcore, credits Minor Threat's Ian MacKay, when you just heard Ian, with starting a, quote, diehard mindset that begat almost everything we now call hardcore, end quote, which was virulently anti-music industry and anti-rockstar. An article in Drowned in Sound argues that late 70s, early 80s era hardcore is the true spirit of punk because, quote, all the posers and fashionistas fucked off to the next trend of skinny pink ties with new romantic haircuts, singing wimpy lyrics, end quote. And the punk scene now consisted of people like Minor Threat, Bad Brains, Black Flag, and Circle Jerks, dedicated to the DIY ethics. Other writers have also attributed hardcore to a reaction against artsy and mellower subgenres that punk grew into, such as post-punk and new wave. Hardcore punk additionally broke with original punk rock song patterns and visuals, favoring lower-key aesthetics. According to Eli Enos of Billboard magazine, hardcore shows are known to be violent. In 2002, during an interview with Nardwa, Dead Kennedys singer Jello Biafra was asked what he believed to be the first hardcore record, and he remarked, ah, some crap, he doesn't know shit. Jello Biafra, you can't get a serious answer out of that dude. Don't believe anything that he says or that he's quoted saying. It's interesting they just sort of said, oh, according to Eli Enos of Billboard, hardcore shows are known to be violent. It's true, but, you know, not like... Oh, I guess, yeah, they're pretty violent. I don't know. I've been to loads of hardcore shows and I've almost never been hurt. So, yeah, that's kind of what we're dealing with here. Let's get into Cro-Mag. So hardcore kind of formed, you know, with those punk bands, as we were just talking about, Bad Brains, Black Flag, Circle Jerks. They're Oh, wait, is Bad Brains? Bad Brains are Washington. So it's Washington, D.C. and L.A., basically, Hermosa Beach, California. Where these bands are sort of starting. And then a little bit later, not long, it went to New York. And there are a bunch of awesome New York bands. And the first awesome New York band we're going to hear, in fact, we're going to hear five in a row, Cro-Mags, Agnostic Front, Sick of It All, Gorilla Biscuits, and Warzone. But the next three tunes we're going to hear is Cro-Mags. And then we'll come back and talk a little bit about them. Be pissed off to face right. Yeah. Cro-Mags with Hard Times. Let's get back to the playlist. And before that was Show No Mercy, and before that was World Peace, all bangers off of the album The Age of Quarrel. This is Tiny Tidal Waves. I'm Kane, and tonight we're talking about American hardcore, early American hardcore, predominantly early 1980s. Some of it's creeping into late 80s. Right, so let's continue on. The musical elements of hardcore. One definition of the genre is, quote, a form of exceptionally harsh punk rock, end quote. Hardcore has been called a faster, meaner genre of punk rock that was a stern refutation against it, being more primal and immediate with speed and aggression as the starting point. You know, that's kind of why I like it. It's no nonsense. We ain't messing about, you know? Here it is. There it was. In the vein of earlier punk rock, most hardcore punk bands have followed the traditional singer, guitar, bass, drums format. The songwriting has more emphasis on rhythm rather than melody. Stephen Blush writes, quote, the Sex Pistols were still rock and roll, like the craziest version of Chuck Berry. Hardcore was a radical departure from that. It wasn't verse-chorus rock. It dispelled any notion of what songwriting is supposed to be. It's its own form. End quote. According to AllMusic, the overall blueprint for hardcore was playing louder, harder, and faster. Hardcore was a reaction to the, quote, cosmopolitan art school, end quote, style of new wave music. Hardcore eschewed nuance, technique, and the avant-garde, and instead emphasized speed and rhythmic intensity, using unpredictable song forms and abrupt tempo changes. Yeah, totally. And the reason for that, I mean, look, the reason behind hardcore, it's aggression, right? It's discontent. It's wasted youth. It's also dancing. I know it doesn't sound like it, but it is. People write songs for moshing, for dancing, circle pits, especially these older bands. We're going to get into that a little bit more. But before I talk too much, here are a couple of songs from Agnostic Front and a couple of songs from Sick of It All.
Why? Breton, the hardcore reality in 89. Sick of it all. Blastmaster KRS-One. Fresh for 89, you suckers.
Wait. No. These songs, they're too quick. I knew Rat Pack was fast. That's the reason I put it in there. I know now. I know that was late 80s, Sick of It All. They did have earlier 80s songs and albums, but I liked the songs from that record. Sick of It All, one of my favorite bands. Alrighty, where were we? We're going to talk about dancing soon. But we're still going on about the musical elements. So the impact of powerful volume is important in hardcore. Noisy magazine describes one hardcore band as, quote, an all-encompassing full-volume assault, end quote, in which every... I'm not going to say the quotes. I'm just going to get it on in there because they're quoting so many tiny little lines. All-encompassing full-volume assault in which every instrument sounds like it's competing for the most power and highest volume. Scott Wilson states that the hardcore of the Bad Brains emphasized two elements: off-the-charts loudness, which reached a level of threatening, powerful, uncompromising noise and rhythm, in place of the typically focused on elements in mainstream rock music, harmony and pitch, i.e. melody. Hardcore vocalists often shout, scream or chant along with the music, using vocal intensity and an abrasive tone. The shouting of hardcore vocalists is often accompanied by audience members who are singing along, making the hardcore vocalist like the leader of a mob, commonly known as gang vocals. You would have just heard that in that song Rat Pack from Sick of It All. Lou's going, Rat Pack, Rat Pack. And then there's everybody, you know, all of the gang in the background is screaming Rat Pack. Stephen Blush describes one early Minor Threat show where the crowd was singing the lyrics so loud they could be heard over the PA system. Hardcore vocal lines are often based on minor scales, and songs may include shouted background vocals from the other band members. Hardcore lyrics express the frustration and political disillusionment of youth who are against the 1980s era affluence, consumerism, greed, Reagan politics, and authority. The polarizing socio-political messages in hardcore lyrics and outrageous onstage behavior meant that the genre garnered no mainstream popularity. there's a note. Let's have a little note about that. Hardcore garnered no mainstream popularity, right? That's what they just said in the 1980s. Last night, Knocked Loose, who are essentially a hardcore band, were nominated for a Grammy. That's about as mainstream as it comes. So yeah, that's pretty cool. It's kind of crossed over into the mainstream a little bit. Dancing. Further information, colon, moshing. The early 1980s hardcore punk scene developed slam dancing, also called moshing, a style of dance in which participants push or slam into each other, and stage diving. Moshing works as a vehicle for expressing anger by representing a way of playing at violence or roughness that allowed participants to mark their difference from the banal niceties of middle-class culture. Moshing is, in another way, a parody of violence that nevertheless leaves participants bruised and sometimes bleeding. The term mosh came into use in the early 1980s American hardcore scene in Washington. In the early 1980s American hardcore scene in Washington, D.C., a performance by the band Fear on the 1981 Halloween episode of Saturday Night Live was cut short when moshers, including John Belushi and members of a few hardcore punk bands, invaded the stage, damaged studio equipment, and used profanity. Oh no, not profanity. That's available on YouTube if you want to see that. The band Fear playing on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, so there's moshing. It's hardcore dancing. You've been to a punk show, surely. You get in the mosh pit and you push around and everyone pushes each other and you slam into each other and it's all a whole bunch of fun. And yeah, you get a bit bruised, maybe accidentally get hurt. If anyone's purposefully hurting you in the mosh pit, they'll soon get taken care of. And yeah, it's just a good old-fashioned fun time. So let's continue on from where we were. Now, we're still in New York, and we are with the Gorilla Biscuits, amazing band name, and we're about to hear the song New Direction, after which we're going to hear a couple more Gorilla Biscuits songs, and then maybe even a Warzone song. Here we go.
Your intentions. I'll just try my best. You shit and ruin our day. You know what I mean? Let's just do brothers and degrade our scene. You know you can get my ass before I begin scene. There's no good time to this white power scene. Get me down for standing up. Got no look up, give me more than enough. Shit, you look like it, we know. You're not welcome here. You don't play music and we don't play beer. I guess it's your right. You'd rather do white. Are you here for music or just some big fight? Don't fool yourself cause you don't fool me. It's not just blacks you hate. It's everything you see. Big boy, young enough, whoever's in your way. What a boring life. Hating everything. You got nothing but hatred. In our minds and in our hearts, we feel that hardcore music should stay out of big business and stay in the streets where it belongs. All you kids out there, always keep the faith.
That was Don't Forget the Struggle, Don't Forget the Streets from Warzone. Before that was Degradation, Good Intentions, and New Direction from Gorilla Biscuits from their album Start Today. Now, for the life of me, I cannot remember who did a New Direction cover. The New Direction song, New Direction from Gorilla Biscuits. There's a cover of it, and that's the version that I know the best, and I can't think of who did it. It's going to drive me crazy, but I'm going to try and find it and move on. Anyway, we're talking about hardcore. This Tiny Tidal Waves. I'm Kane, and it's Reagan Community Radio on Tuesday, the 4th of February. Hardcore fashion. Many North America. This is, you know, we're going back, right? This is the 80s. Let's just make sure they're not going to talk about... Many North American hardcore punk fans adopted a dressed-down style of T-shirts, jeans, or work chinos, combat boots or sneakers, and crew-cut-style haircuts. Women in the hardcore scene typically wore army pants, band T-shirts, and hooded sweatshirts. The clothing style was a reflection of hardcore ideology, which included dissatisfaction with suburban America and the hypocrisy of American culture. It was essentially a deconstruction of American fashion staples, ribbed jeans, holey t-shirts, torn stockings for women, and work boots. The style of 1980s hardcore scene contrasted with the more provocative fashion styles of late 1970s punk rockers. Siri C. Brockmeyer writes that, quote, "Hardcore kids do not look like punks," end quote, since hardcore scene members wore basic clothing and short haircuts, in contrast to the embellished leather jackets and pants worn in the punk scene. Yeah, I used to notice that as well. The punks would all be like, you know, back in the day when we were punks, and a lot of the punks were all like, oh, yeah, you know, we don't care about anything. But it's like, bro, you just spent 2 hours in front of the mirror putting up your mohawk and studying your jackets and sewing your little patches on and ripping your jeans. And hardcore, it's just, you don't care. Anyway, LeBrain LeBlanc, however, claims that the standard hardcore punk clothing and styles included torn jeans, leather jackets, spiked armbands, dog collars, mohawk hairstyles. Nah. DIY ornamentation of clothes with studs painted. That's punk. That's punk. It's not hardcore. She doesn't know what she's on about. Let's go here. Circle Jerks frontman Keith Morris, who was in Raglan not that long ago for a show at the Yacht Club, RIP. He said, punk was basically based on English fashion, but we had nothing to do with that. Black Flag and the Circle Jerks were so far from that. We looked like the kid who worked at the gas station or sub shop. Henry Rollins, who was a singer for Black Flag, stated that for him, getting dressed up meant putting on a black t-shirt and some dark pants, taking an interest in fashion as being a distraction. Jimmy Gestapo from Murphy's Law describes his own transition from dressing in a punk style, which is spiked hair and bondage belt, to adopting a hardcore style, which is shaved head and boots, as being based on needing more functional clothing. Skateboard culture, streetwear, and workwear are also major influences on clothing worn by participants in both past and present eras of hardcore. Thank you very much. Okay, we might learn a little bit about politics. I don't know if I want to get too much into politics. I generally avoid that. Demographics, we'll talk about etymology. Let's talk about the etymology later on. First, let's go back to some music. So we're going to hear from a couple of tunes from Circle Jerks, and then we're going to hear from some Gangrene and some Negative Approach.
Century City, everything so nice and pretty. All the people look the same. Don't they know they're so damn lame? There she goes, three-piece suit, spandex pants, cowboy boots. I just don't know what I'm gonna do. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Maybe I'll have to move from Beverly Hills. Century City, everything so nice and pretty, and all the people, they look the same, but don't they know they're so damn lame? I don't wanna live.
I never travel to the house. I had children raising my two working mouths. I had children hate when they make lots of noise. I had children burning and took none of choice. I had children touch back this stupid little brat. But she just smack, smack, smack. If I may, I could go away. Hit crying that they made. Children scream one more piece of cake. I children hate in the late night. I children check sleep up in the right. I children touch about these stupid little brat. What you just like, like, like. In my way, I go away. Now I have my slip kid. I children get to be there on the grid.
It's alive. You're better off dead if you only knew your current life's taking a dive. I've never seen anything like it before. This amoeba's got a mind of its own. But don't turn away, you stupid science work. This is reaching for the telephone.
See Adolescence with Amoeba, and before that, I Hate Children. Before that, we heard I Don't Belong from Jerry's Kids, Friend or Foe from Negative Approach, and Killer Commie from Gangrene. Before that, Live Fast, Die Young and Beverly Hills from Circle Jerks. So we've got a bunch more. It's going to be sweet. So etymology. Well, this is Tiny Tidal Waves and I'm Kane, just in case you just dropped in. You're like, oh, what the fuck is this? Hardcore music. That's right. I can swear now. It's 8:30. It's Tiny Tidal Waves. And this week we're talking about hardcore. American hardcore from the early 80s. Origins of hardcore. We talk about different things every single week. We listen to different styles each week. And this week, unfortunately, is hardcore. Well, fortunately for me, unfortunately for anyone who doesn't like hardcore. So, the etymology of hardcore. Stephen Blush states that the Vancouver-based band DOA's 1981 album Hardcore 81 was where the genre got its name. This album also helped to make people aware of the term hardcore. Constantin Butts, that's right, his name is Butts, states that while the origin of the expression hardcore cannot be ascribed to a specific place or time, the term is usually associated with the further evolution of California's LA punk rock scene, which included young skateboarders. A September 1981 article by Tim Sommer shows the author applying the term to the 15 or so punk bands gigging around the city at that time, which he considered a belated development relative to Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C. Blush said that the term hardcore is also a reference to the sense of being fed up with the existing punk and new wave music. Blush also states that the term refers to an extreme, the most absolute punk. Khalifa Sane states that the term hardcore referred to an attitude of turning inwards toward the scene and ignoring broader society, all with the goal of achieving a sense of shared purpose and being part of a community. Sane cites Agnostic Front's band member selection approach as an example of hardcore's emphasis on scene citizenship. Prospective members of the band were chosen based on being part of the local hardcore scene and being regularly in the mosh pit at shows, rather than based on musical audition, on a musical audition. That's pretty funny. We've heard some Agnostic Front tonight. Okay, well, I don't want to talk too much more. I think we've kind of said all we really need to say. I mean, if you want to get into this, you know, you can read for hours about it. I just kind of wanted to give you a basic overview. We don't need to go into all of the specific scenes. I'll have a little look and see if there's anything else I want to mention. Otherwise, we're just going to rock out to some bands. We've got some more Gangrene, and then we've got some Fear. The song's called Alcohol.
I'm Fast streets Philadelphia.
That was I Don't Care About You from Fear. And before that, Let's Have a War from Fear. Before that, we heard some Gangrene, Alcohol, and Skate to Hell. Right. We're kind of crossing a line here. And it's into a bit of more kind of melodic hardcore. It's still like old school, early 80s hardcore. Spotify is being such a dick. So slow. Anyway, I think maybe it'd be faster to Google it. That's right. I'll make you wait while I Google this. Okay. So this is, and we're going to play some Bad Religion. And they did a couple of records, and we're going to hear a song off of their first record. But I think it was their first record. Oh, God. I should have got my shit together before we start talking about this. No, we're talking about discography. Here we go. How Could Hell Be? Yeah, so Bad Religion released their first record in 1982. How Could Hell Be Any Worse? Their third album, Suffer, in 1988. I think I'm not a huge, I don't know a whole lot about Bad Religion. I do really like them, but I think we're going to get a lot more melodic. And then we also have Descendants, who are a very melodic band as well, although I am going to play some old Descendants. Let's just find out. Let's find out. We're going to hear some Bad Religion, four tunes from then.
People's cries. curses on humanity have always, always had to suffer. A door leading to the gift of hope renewed, eternity. Ain't go to hell with Superman and die like a champion. Yeah, hey.
It's Code Blue from TSOL off the album Dance With Me, which was their first record. Before that was Problem Child by Wasted Youth. And we heard a couple of songs, Pervert and Good Good Things from Descendants, and a few Bad Religion songs there before that. So, we're here. We've had hardcore. We've hardcored. This has been Tiny Tidal Waves on Tuesday, the 4th of February. And I'm Kane, and this week we learned all about American hardcore, the early American hardcore. And it was super fun because hardcore is super rad. So thanks for listening. Tune in next week for something totally different. It won't be hardcore. And to leave you, I'm going to play A Day in the Life from Murphy's Law off of their self-titled record. See you next week.
Good morning.